Amen. Good, good stuff. It's kind of upbeat. I feel like I got to do something upbeat now. I don't know. A couple of things before we get started today. We are going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, if you want to turn there in your Bible, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. But I've got a couple of things I want to just remind you of, talk to you about. One is if the quilts, if you bid on the quilts, if you have not made arrangements yet to pay for and pick up your quilts, that silent auction is over. And please notify the office, church office, about those, picking those up. Thank you for everyone who bid on those to help for our capital campaign and our building fund to refurbish the building that we have there. Tonight, we're going to have something I've just been calling kind of a church family meeting. We're going to come together and just talk about where we're at, where we stand with the search committee, and as the church moving forward. And so I encourage you to be here for that. Now, growing up, we didn't have family meetings. Mom and Dad said something, we just all did it. There wasn't no meeting about it. But I understand what family meetings are, and you know, if you've had those or you're aware of those in your life, that a family meeting is for who?
The family.
The family. And so if you consider yourself part of this family, we want you here tonight. You should be here tonight. And so we want you to remember that, be here for our service tonight. We're going to do that. We're going to have a time of prayer and also just discuss some things, talk about some things going on and where we're going from here, how we're moving forward. So I want to do that. I encourage you to be there for that. Starting today, we've got several things going on in December and at several different locations. One at the table at the very back pew here in the center, here on the front table here, and then also going out this radiator and one right outside these doors. There are little cards like this. They're business cards. And I probably should have had you put one on the screen. We just didn't think about that. Mickey is not a graphic artist by occupation, but Mickey does most of our graphic design around here, and thank you so much for that. It's another thing that I'm grateful for. And he designed this. I called him while I was in Alabama last week, and I said, hey, can you do this for us and get these printed? So he designed this and had these printed, and they're here. We've got 500 of these cards, and we want you to give them out. Everyone, just take five of them with you and give them out. It talks about the things that it just, on the front of the card, says children's music, December the 4th, 6:30 p.m., combined choirs of Central and First Baptist on December the 11th, Christmas carol sing-along on December the 18th, Christmas Eve service, that's 24th, and then it talks about on the back, it talks about the Christmas birth of Christmas celebration on December 25th, and then on the back, it has our regular weekly schedule. So I want you to take some of these and use these. I've already handed one out today, this morning, not to somebody here. I got here this morning and got to the office, and I saw these cards, and I pulled one out, and I went, okay, well, let me get my glasses out, and I didn't have them. So I got to make a trip to Walgreens this morning, and I handed one to the cashier. And that's what I want you to do. Don't just leave them someplace and expect somebody to get them. I carry them in my wallet whenever I do something like this with the church. I carry them right in my wallet. So as soon as I open my wallet up, they're the first things right there. So no matter where I'm at, if I'm pulling my wallet out for anything, for a cashier, for cash, or for a credit card, or to hand my license to a police officer, I don't do that. I don't have to do that. But whatever I do, when I pull my wallet out, that's the first thing I see. And like this morning, all I did was say, I'm pastoring at Central Baptist over here, and here's some things we got going on. He said, we'd love for you to come to as many of these as you can. That's it. If you'll do that, hand those out. We've got 500 of them to hand out. I want you to pick up five of them, three to five of them. I would love for everybody to take five. If you'll take five, I'm going to hand out five, and I'm only here a day and a half a week, you might as well say. And that's not every week, even at that. And so I'm going to hand out at least five of them, but I want you to take them and hand them out. Don't just hand them out to your family or friends that you know. Hand them out to people everywhere you go. If you go to a restaurant, now here's one thing, though. I do want you to hand them out at restaurants, but if you're mean to the waitress, don't hand them a card from our church. Okay? We had a lady call one day. Said on a Monday, we were handing out certain cards for something at a church I was part of on staff. And the lady called, and she said, hey, I've received a card from one of your members yesterday. And the associate pastor that took the call said, well, that's great. We want our people to hand those out. She said, that's the rudest customer I've had in my life. Don't hand them out if you're going to be rude to the waitress. But we want you to hand those out. Take five of those with you today. And there's some, like I said, here, some on that table right behind the center pew, and some over here as you walk out this door. So I want you to take those and use those today. Well, Wonderful Counselor. That's our title for today. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. I'm actually not going to read all six verses. But in 1809, the world was in a state of disorder and confusion. Napoleon Bonaparte was sweeping through Austria, and soldiers from many countries were dying on the battlefield. The fate of multiple nations hung in the balance, and the world seemed on the very edge of collapse. And yet, at the same time, the same year, 1809, several significant people were being born that year. In Britain, there was William Gladstone, who would become one of England's finest statesmen. Alfred Lord Tennyson was also born in 1809, one of the great authors of his day, whose his material is still used in schools and taught around the world. And he was born to an obscure preacher and his wife. Now, in the United States, that same year, 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes, the poet and physician, was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Of course, his son would be Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., who became Supreme Court Justice. And in that same year, the wife of a physician named Darwin gave birth to their child and named him Charles Darwin. Also in that same year, 1809, in a rugged log cabin in Kentucky, not far from where I live today, a baby boy was born. His name? Abraham Lincoln. That's right. Now, newspapers of that day in 1809 shared headlines like this. It said, "The destiny of the world is being shaped on an Austrian battlefield." Now, we know the destiny of the world had been settled long before. But the political and the intellectual and behavioral course of the world was being shaped in the cradles of England and America that year. And then a little more than 100 years later, in 1917, the world again found itself in an upside-down situation, you might say, in the largest war of all times, what we now refer to as World War I. At the time, it was known as the Great War, because people believed it to be the war that would end all wars. Some believed that it even prophesied and marked the coming of the end of the world. And yet in that same year, 1917, cradles around the world again housed infants such as John F. Kennedy, Ferdinand Marcos, who became president of the Philippines, Jackie Robinson, who broke the color barrier for the National Baseball Leagues. A Supreme Court justice was born. Many others were born. Many who would shape the technologies that we still use, the technology we have today, was shaped from people who were in the cradles in 1917. Folks, there has never been a society that has not faced trials, faced issues, and dangers in each generation. At some point, every nation faces difficulties. Today, in the United States, arguably the greatest nation that has ever existed, we're concerned with gangs and gang fighting. We're concerned with financial troubles and inflation. We're concerned with international terrorism and domestic terrorism, political uncertainty, and deterioration of our nation from within. Every nation, sooner or later, will face threats and perils that will make those people believe that the destiny of the world is being shaped by that day's events. We, no doubt, in our lifetime, we've experienced that and maybe even had some of those same thoughts in times of election or times of struggle or trial or times of crisis. And oftentimes, too many people will see their future as bleak, dark, and hopeless in those times. Yet in every age, the birth of a child can make a significant impact on their destiny. In the days of Isaiah, the world looked dark and bleak. It looked hopeless for the Israelites. The nation Israel had actually turned their back on God, turned away from God, and God in turn had seemingly turned his back on Israel. To punish them, God was bringing the Assyrian nation down upon Israel in vengeance for them turning away from God. In Isaiah chapter 8, if you want to go back, and I encourage you to go back and read that this week, Isaiah chapter 8, God gives a very dark forecast for the Israelite nation. But then in chapter 9, God said there will be a time of hope, as we've sung about this morning. There will be a time of hope and light brought by the birth of a child from the cradle. Child. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. That one is part of our scripture. I'll read it. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, A light has dawned. And then in verse 6, he tells them why. He says, for unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we're looking at the first one today, a Wonderful Counselor. But what is a counselor? What is a counselor? What makes a counselor? Well, our first point this morning is a counselor is someone you listen to. Someone who gives you guidance or advice on things important in your life, on making decisions in your life. That person is your counselor. People today listen to and take the advice of all kinds of counselors. Some listen to talk show hosts like Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Dave Ramsey, and others. Some listen to famous people like Dr. Phil and Ellen DeGeneres and those women on The View. People will listen to political pundits that they agree with. They will listen to religious leaders, and that's not always good. I'm grateful when I get an email or a phone call or someone stops me and says, what about this person? Someone said, you know, I should read this book or I should listen to this person. And I'm grateful for that if they're not already understanding who that person is. Because there are many people out there who claim to be religious, claim to follow Jesus, who are not preaching the gospel that I read. But people listen to political pundits, religious leaders, comedians, actors, sports figures, and the list goes on and on. If those people, those people that they look up to, that they listen to, if they say it, then it's got to be true. These counselors are so influential in our society today that people will form their opinions based on what their so-called counselor says, though that person may not be basing it on anything. Whoever you listen to, folks, is your counselor. And sometimes those counselors will give you good advice. But other times, the advice they offer you will not be good for you or what you should be doing. But a counselor is someone you listen to. Number two, a counselor is someone you accept advice from. The problem for Israel was that they had gotten into the habit of listening to the wrong counselors. Read with me what one thing that was said back in chapter 8, verse 19, Isaiah chapter 8. Remember, this is the verse prior. This is when God is through Isaiah, is proclaiming the dark, bleak future. He says in chapter 8, verse 19, he says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? So there were fortune tellers, soothsayers, people that do seances and stuff like that going on in Isaiah's time. And the religious people, the Israelites people, were turning away from God and they were going to these soothsayers, or these fortune tellers, you might say, these spiritists, instead of turning to God. There were men in Israel who were actually giving advice to the people to go to these people, to go to these others other than God. These men were advising the Israelites to listen to someone other than God. Mediums and spiritists and people who claim to talk to the dead. And apparently these men were so influential, they were trusted enough by the people of Israel, even the religious leaders, that they were following them. They were taking them seriously. And because Israel listened to these counselors, their nation was not doing well and was going to suffer terribly because of what they were doing and not listening to God. God was telling his people, you are walking in darkness in the shadow of death because you've listened to the wrong counselors. Could God not say the same thing to our nation today? Would God, if he were to speak to us today, would he not say that same thing? Read chapter 8. I'm just telling you again, read chapter 8 because you're going to see our nation. What God could be doing in our nation today, what he would say to us. But in chapter 9, he says, rejoice! Because unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and he's going to be a wonderful counselor. Now, like Mickey said, it didn't happen for 400 years. These people had to pay the price for some of the things that they'd done, walking away from God, you might say. But this verse says that he's going to be someone you can listen to and you can trust his advice because you know his advice is right. His advice is always going to be spot on what you need to be doing. You'll be able to stake your life on what he tells you. You can take it to the bank, what some people would say today. There's no mortal man or woman who's going to be able or capable of giving you the advice like this wonderful counselor. Now, I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying we should not take advice from others, because actually even Scripture teaches against that. Proverbs 15, verse 22 says, plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. This is one reason that when I go in and work with a church, when this church worked with me about 5 years ago, we went through Reaching to Summit, I don't come in and just work with a pastor. We worked with a team. Some of you were on that team and walked with me for 1 year through that. And that's the way I don't work with just a pastor, just one person. We form a team because there's wisdom in much counsel. And we need to follow that wise. A wise person is someone who listens to many counselors, but make sure that all those counselors are lining up with what God says. What they're telling you, that's lining up with God's word. There are many skilled and trained counselors that we can turn to today for help with our finances, with our marriages, with guilt, with grief, with addiction, and just about any other issue or situation you may find yourself in. In fact, they've become so diverse that there are actually people out there that are certified in each one of those different areas. And no matter what issue you need help with or that you need some counsel with, there are people out there who are trained to assist you, to help you. Counselors who are sincere and compassionate, and they have a passion to help other people move forward away from those, whatever it is, situation they find themselves in. But folks, no matter how good the advice is that any of these counselors give you, they are still only human. Their counsel can only accomplish so much. So wherever you go for counsel, you need to make certain that their advice lines up with God's wisdom and God's counsel in God's word. We need to make sure that whoever we're listening to goes right along with this and doesn't take us away from what God says and his counsel. Folks, you know, when Jesus came, he came fully understanding what you and I face. He came fully understanding. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "She, being Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, folks, when you purchase something, you want to know exactly what you're purchasing, right? I'm considering making a fairly major purchase right now, so I'm really doing a lot of research and going through a lot of things before I make that purchase. And when you purchase something, you want to make sure of what you're getting. You want to make sure that you know exactly what you're looking at and what you're maybe purchasing, right? Jesus knew. That verse tells us Jesus knew what he was purchasing. Jesus knew the struggles that you and I face. He knew the temptation of the world. He knew. And this verse says, he will save his people from their sins. He knew before he came what he was walking into. He knew the death that he was going to have to suffer and to face. And one of the repeated pieces of advice that Jesus, the wonderful counselor, gives as he's walking the earth those 3.5 years, one of the repeated pieces of advice we see was this: go and sin no more. We see that in several places. In John chapter 5:14 and in chapter 8:11 is just two of those places. Jesus tells us, don't make excuses for it. We don't do that, do we? Oh, but you don't understand. I did it because, oh, but no, you don't get it, see, because you weren't there. Jesus said, don't make excuses for it. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to explain it away. Folks, sin is not going away on its own. We must deal with it, we must confront it, we must confess it, and we must ask for forgiveness. Then we must seek the wise counsel of God's wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ, on how to deal with it in our own lives. And the only way that we can deal with it effectively with sin is to realize that the only wonderful counselor is the only one who can help us remove sin's power and the guilt that it leaves behind. He can remove that too. Jesus, the wonderful counselor. He has the ability to help us deal with the root cause of all of our problems, any situations we find ourselves in, all the issues we deal with in our lives. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." See, Jesus understands our issues. He understands our problems. He understands the situation we find ourselves in. He's sympathetic to our failure. He is compassionate about your plight, be it sin, financial hardship, be it employment, health issues, whatever your plight, Jesus is where you need to go to seek counsel. So we've looked at 2 points. A counselor is one you listen to. A counselor is one you accept advice from. The third thing is this is about Jesus. Jesus is too good of a counselor to just let us do what we want to and ignore the consequences. That's a long point, but I had to put it that way. I just didn't know any way to shorten that one. He's too good a counselor to just let us do what we want and ignore the consequences. He knows our issues, and he has counsel to help you deal with whatever situation you find yourself in. The key, of course, is this. Listen to and follow those first 2 points that we talked about. The key of Jesus' advice and doing the right godly thing is to listen to and follow God's advice. Is Jesus your wonderful counselor? Do you live daily asking for his guidance and his advice? Do you follow his advice? In everything? How would you rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't want you to answer this out loud, but just think about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself with this statement? I listen to and follow the counsel and advice of Jesus Christ as I make the daily decisions in the affairs of my life. The reason I don't want you to say that out loud, because I don't want most of you to lie. Because most of us would give ourselves a pretty high ranking there, wouldn't we? I'm a 9 out of 10. I'm an 8 out of 10. I'm a 10. So, as you were getting ready to bake that pie for Thanksgiving, did you turn to God and say, God, make sure that I'm making the right decision here? That I'm putting the right measurements in here? Did you ask God for those things? Well, no, I baked that cake 1,000 times. Or that pie. You see, we don't turn to God for every decision in our life, do we? You say, that's kind of foolish, George. Is it? Those of you who are parents who have grown children, they've moved out, doesn't matter if they've moved out recently or they've been out married on their own for 20 years. How do you feel when that child calls you and says, Mom or Dad, Mom, tell me how you make that wonderful pumpkin pie that you make. Or Dad, tell me what to do. My lawnmower's doing this. What would you give me? How do you feel when they do that? Make you feel good? How do you think God feels when his children turn to him with even what we might say the small things? He wants to be your wonderful counselor. We have a counselor who is able to deal gently with us. One who is sympathetic to our weaknesses. But we need to listen to his advice and then follow through on that advice. As Christians, we need to listen to him every day in everything that we do. We need to seek out his counsel in everything, not just when we first get up, Lord, help me make great decisions today. That's a good thing. But then what about through the day? And when we go to bed at night? What about throughout the whole day? We should fear making decisions without his counsel. We should tremble. We should fear about making decisions without his counsel. And what if you're not a Christian today? Well, what if someone in here, maybe here, that says, well, I don't know about all that stuff. I don't believe all that stuff. I'm not a Christian. I hear you, but... Well, if you're not a Christian today, then you need to hear what advice he gives anyway in this verse, in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. This is Christ's advice to you. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You either believe and trust Jesus as counselor and savior, or you're condemned to all eternity in hell, forever and ever, everlasting, in what we call the lake of fire. There are no other options. It's more plain than black and white. It's one or the other. Jesus wants to be your wonderful counselor. But in order to be that kind of counselor to you, his free gift to you must be accepted by you. To give him total reign of your life. To be Christian means to ask Jesus to come and to live inside you through the Holy Spirit. Asking him to be your wonderful counselor. Advising you, giving you the ultimate counsel, the counsel of God in everything that you do every day of the week. Corrie ten Boom, many of you know who that is. Corrie ten Boom once said that if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem but not in me, then I would still be lost. And it's so true. We can do all kinds of things, say we love Jesus, we believe Jesus, but if he's not born again, and if he's not living in me, if I'm not born again, he's not living in me, then I'm still lost. But he's a wonderful counselor. I think that has a nice ring to it. I just like to say that. Wonderful counselor. Wonderful. I might just walk around town today. So. Wonderful counselor. You might have to come get me out of jail for doing that. There's some crazy guy walking around. But it just has just a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Wonderful counselor. Just saying it gives a sense of peace and tranquility. Knowing who this wonderful counselor is and knowing that he lives inside me brings a sense, it's hard to explain, but it truly is peace and tranquility. That's what he gives. He has the absolute best counsel and advice for you in every situation in your life, every circumstance that you find yourself facing this Christmas season. Whether it's a life and death situation or simply just trying to decide what gift to buy for that special someone, Jesus has the counsel that you're looking for. And again, we take that as trivial. That's trivial. He's not interested in what I'm buying for that person or this person or who I'm buying for. Is he not? Did he create you? Did he create that gift? Did he create that person? Then he's interested. He's interested in everything. It doesn't have to be life and death situation. That's often too often where too many people do rush to him and the rest of their life, I'll do it my way. Oh, but I love God, so I know I'm doing it God's way. Folks, God even said, your way is not God's way. He said his ways are what? Higher. His ways are much higher than your ways. He has the counsel that you need and that you're looking for. So this Christmas season, let us remember the role of Jesus as wonderful counselor. Turn to him for the advice and the counsel for every decision you make. Just try that for a day or two. Just see how it makes you feel. Even if you're baking, if you're cooking, God, I need to go to this place, but should I take this route or take this route? Just try that for a couple of days and see how wonderfully blessed you feel just by talking to your counselor. Turn to him for the advice in every decision that you need to make. Because, folks, there is nothing too small. And there's certainly nothing too great or too large for our wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. Is he truly your counselor? Not just here. Is he your counselor in all things? That's where he wants to be. Will you turn that over to him today and give him all parts of your life? Stand with me as we enter into our time of invitation. Father God, we come to you this morning thanking you for your word. The living word is Jesus Christ, and he is our wonderful counselor. Thank you for this insight this morning. And for the recognition, the realization that nothing is too small to bring to you. And we know nothing is too big or too great for you. But too often we come to you with a question or a situation, then we try to deal with it on our own. Father, I pray that today that I, George, and everyone in this room, everyone listening to me or watching online, would understand what that means. And we would turn over any of those dark corners that we're hanging on to in our life that we've not surrendered to you. We would give them to you. And we would go out of here today with a renewed freshness saying, wonderful counselor. And that other people might even hear us saying those two words and say, what was that? And we know your Holy Spirit will give us exactly what we need to say at that very moment. We say, Jesus Christ is my wonderful counselor. And Father, I pray that you would take those two words from our lips and that you would make a difference in Bourbon County and beyond this week as we serve you. Everywhere that you place us this week, everywhere we find ourselves. Father, during this moment, this hour, I pray that we would all be open to your Holy Spirit and continue to be open so that we can come forward and pray as you lead us to come forward and pray. And I know that that's, for whatever reason, something that we don't like to do, don't do. But Lord, whatever it is, that we do that. And then we would talk to someone about being a wonderful counselor. And then we would take these cards and we would hand them out this week. And as we hand them out, we would say, come and hear about the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. Father, for someone today that related to that part that said doesn't know, they're not a Christian, they're not a believer, they've never made that decision to follow you, to have you live in their heart and to help you to make those decisions, or to help have you help them make those decisions. And I pray, Lord, that today would be the day that they'd stop running, stop trying to do things on their own, and come and pour out their heart and just say, I give it to you. I want to give it to God. I want that wonderful counselor in my life. Father, wherever we're at in our spiritual walk, draw us closer to the wonderful counselor that you've provided for us. Right now, in Jesus, the wonderful counselor's own name, amen. You respond as God leads you.